I like that song. Joy in the house of the Lord. I hope that there's joy in your house this morning as we gather for worship. I know there's joy in our house for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons is that my daughter, Selah, is holding down two part-time jobs. I'm very impressed. I'm very proud of her. She is the definition of a girl boss. And so we're excited about that. And I think it's cool that she's working, as I know so many teenagers are working today, because I think it teaches a lot of life lessons when you have a job at a young age. I know I worked a lot of different jobs at a young age. I mean, I worked in retail, I worked as a busboy, I worked as a waiter, I worked a lot of jobs. And I do remember my very first job though, I was a paper boy. Now, you don't see many paper boys today because most people get their news via the internet or cable TV. Back when I was a kid, there was no internet. I know it's tough to believe, but there wasn't. And cable news was really just starting. So the only way that people got news was through the newspaper. So the newspaper was a pretty big deal. So to be a paper boy, that was doing something. So I used to have the papers delivered to my house. I put them in the bag and I would walk my neighborhood and fold them and throw them on the porches, and most of the time on the porches. And I would deliver these papers, and it was really, I had this responsibility to bring people the life-changing news of what was going on in their community and the world. I was, in some ways, I was the portal. I was the platform that people got all their news from, a pretty big deal. Well, paper boys aren't in great demand much anymore, but the need for life-changing news is. And that brings us to our last essential in our summer essential series, that if you want to grow closer to God and you want to live out your faith, summer essential number 7 is make disciples. And so we're going to talk about that today. So I hope you've got your Bible. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. So let's take a look at God's word. It says this: after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and we're going to talk about what after this meant, appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for your own town." When we read this chapter, we have to start with, well, what does it mean after this? Well, what happens in chapter 9 is a lot of people say, "I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you, Jesus." But they say, "But first, let me go back and do this. But first, let me go back and that." And what Jesus was saying is, if you're going to follow me, then you need to follow me. No excuses. Look, Jesus made no excuses in his obedience to the Father. In this chapter, we see that Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, where he would die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he sent the 12 out, and he sent the 72 ahead, and he sends you and I with this mission, with this message of healing the sick and preaching the gospel. And if you read this text, you may say, well, why did Jesus send 72? Why didn't he send 75 or 85 or 95? At that point, 72 was the number that people thought of nations in the world. They thought there were 72 nations in the world. So it was symbolic of saying, we're going to send disciples to every nation in the world so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. And whether it was the 12 apostles, these 72, or you and I, there's a common theme that all of us can land on: that we know the life-changing love of God in our hearts through Jesus, and that we have a passion for other people to know that life-changing love of God through Jesus in their hearts. And can I tell you, that is really the first step in making disciples, is recognizing the love of God's change in your heart through Jesus, and then having a passion to say, I want other people to know of God's love together. And really what the ministry of the 72 is the same ministry that you and I are called to. It's a ministry of preparation. That the 72 were sent to prepare people and towns for the coming of Jesus to their towns. And we do the same thing. We are called to prepare people to encounter Jesus. To encounter Jesus through a relationship where the Holy Spirit changes their heart, or to encounter the second coming of Jesus. So our ministry is a ministry of preparation for the coming of Jesus. One of the things that's so obvious in this text, and I hope that you picked up on it, is that if you are a Christ follower, you are a sent person. We are sent people. We are not sedentary. We are not called just to sit. We are called to go. And so what Jesus is doing is he is sending the 72 out to prepare people, just like he sends you and me out to prepare people to encounter Jesus. And when we look at the people here, they had enthusiasm. They had energy. They were ready to go. They didn't make excuses. They said, because I've been saved, because I've been redeemed, my life no longer belongs to me, and I am going to go because Jesus has sent me. And can I tell you something? That when we're obedient and we go and we say, I'm going to make disciples, guess what? God goes before you. God goes behind you. God goes with you. And amazing things happen when God goes. And so I want you to read with me here, if you could scroll down in your Bibles, to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says this, the 72 returned. So they've come back. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They experienced the joy of the power of God working through them and in the hearts of other people because they understood we are a sent people. Friends, you and I, we are sent people. And if you want to grow closer to God, if you want to live out your faith, make disciples. And that first step is recognizing the power of God that changed your heart and having a passion for other people to know that power too. Now, Jesus sent them in 72, but it was 36 pairs. And the reason, not just practical, because it's better and safer to go in number, but in the Old Testament, you needed two witnesses to validate a claim. And so these two disciples, these two of the 72 are going out, they were validating the claim of Jesus is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, one of the things that is so obvious to see if you've been out and about is it seems like every place I go, and maybe you've experienced this too, there's a help wanted sign. Whether it's in retail or restaurants or everywhere in between, it seems like so many places are looking for help. And in a lot of ways, what Jesus does right here is he kind of hangs the help wanted sign. When he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And Jesus has hung the help wanted sign from that moment on, and it is still up. And the question is, will we respond to the help that people need to know the glory of God? Look, there were a lot of people then and a lot of people now who think they're unforgivable. They're unlovable. They're unredeemable. And that's just not true. That's why we've got to call and give them the good news that Jesus loves them, forgives them, and redeems them. There's work to be done, but we need more workers to go out and do it. In a lot of ways, we're kingdom paper boys, right? Paper boys aren't out of style. We are kingdom paper boys with the word of God that so many people need to hear this truth. And Jesus says, I have appointed you. I have commissioned you. I have sent you. And he has sent us to be laborers and not loafers. Right? We're called to go out and labor in the vineyard and the harvest and not loaf around. If we are going to grow closer to God and live out our faith, then we need to go into the harvest field. And we need to do that prayerfully. That's why Jesus says here, ask the Lord of the harvest. We need to be in prayer. Lord, where will you send me? Lord, what opportunities will you give me to disciple people, to point people to you, to share what you've done in my heart and in my life? And we're called to go out as lambs, not lions. Lambs are gentle, loving creatures. We're called to lovingly invest in other people, lovingly help them see the joy that is in Jesus. One of the main things that separates Christianity from all other world religions is it does not compel a commitment. It invites into a relationship. Jesus says, I am sending you to the 72, but he's also sending you and me and all of us who are watching this. He is sending us, and he's sending us to live on mission. We don't hear that phrase very often, but we are called to live on a mission. And yes, you and I have a mission, and our mission is not our job. Our mission is not getting our kids into the college. Our mission is not getting that promotion. We have a very specific mission, and we read about it in the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to live on mission. See, a lot of people think that all you have to be is a disciple. That's half of being a Christ follower. The other half is being a disciple maker. So many people settle for, well, I'm saved, I'm a disciple, that's all I need to do. You are not fully a Christ follower until you become a disciple maker, because that's what we are commissioned to do. And we've got to trust in God. God's got to lead, God's got to guide. That's why Jesus says here, don't take anything. Don't take an extra bag, don't take extra shoes, don't take anything. I'll provide for you, I'll protect for you. They had to walk in faith. They had to trust that God would lead, that God would provide, that God would protect. You and I have to go and make disciples and trust that God will provide, that God will protect. When Jesus says, don't stop and talk to anybody, he's not saying be rude. Understand that greetings in the ancient world, they took a long time. And if you had to greet this person and this person and this person, well, it would take your focus off of your mission. And see, if we're going to stay on mission, if we're going to live on mission, which we're called to do, not only do we have to trust God, but we have to be focused. We have to be focused on the mission, focused on what God puts before us. See, because we have a lot of things that will take us off mission, right? A lot of distractions that can help move our focus from the mission that God has given us. And if we're honest, most of those things are about us, what we want, what we need, what we want to do. But if we are going to grow closer to God, to live out our faith, to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to stay focused. And let me tell you this. You need to be on mission at work. You need to be on mission at school. You need to be on mission at the store, in your neighborhood. See, being on mission isn't, oh, I'm at the church or I'm doing a church event. Being and living on mission is saying, everywhere I go, how am I pointing people to Jesus? Where are the opportunities that I can invest in somebody? How can I talk to somebody about how good God has been in my life? See, when I was a kid, they needed a lot of paper boys because everybody got the paper. It was rare somebody didn't get the paper. They're always looking for help, saying we need more paper boys. That's what Jesus is saying. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He needs more people who will go out into the harvest and share the good news of the gospel. One of my all-time favorite movies is Evan Almighty with Steve Carell. I love that movie. It's funny. It's really cool. And if you don't know the movie, it's really about how God, played by Morgan Freeman, kind of chooses Steve Carell's character, Evan Baxter, to build an ark in modern day times. And through all of these different things, there's just no way he can get out of it. And he grows the beard and he looks the part. And there's this one scene where all of these reporters are gathered around Steve Carell's character, Evan Baxter, and reporter says, what makes you think God chose you? And Evan Baxter took a moment and he said, he chose all of us. And I know they meant it in a funny way, but it really is profound. God has chosen you. God has chosen me to bring the good news of the gospel to the world. It's not just for some people, it's for all of those who are Christ's followers. And the gospel was for all people. Jesus was sending them out saying, it's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles, it's for everybody involved. Let me kind of try to help you understand what discipleship is, because it's this beautiful balance that only God can do, right? The first part is divine sovereignty, right? Because it's God who can change hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that can take someone from the darkness to light. So there's the divine sovereignty of God, but the other balance is the human responsibility that we have to go and to bring, to be a herald. That's really what a paperboy is. It's a herald. We are called to be a herald of the good news. And we do. Jesus says, if you've got that peace with me, bring that peace into a house. See, if you have peace with God in your life, it's only through Jesus. It's not through religion or through church or through work. It's through Jesus. And when you have that peace, man, you just want to share that peace. And that's what Jesus says to do. That when you are justified, when you are redeemed, when you are forgiven by the love of Jesus that he offers us, that's a peace in your life that you want to share with other people. See, that peace that we have in life, it's actually an Old Testament messianic promise that God gives us, that there will be peace through the Messiah. It talks about the authority of God. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is bring that peace into your home, bring that peace into your temporary home base. When you stay in homes, as we talked last week, people open their homes. That was a way of showing hospitality. But here's one of the subtext things that I think is so important that I want to make sure I share with you. We need to stop talking about discipleship and start doing discipleship. Because the kingdom doesn't grow, you and I don't grow closer to God, you and I can't live out our faith unless we're doing discipleship instead of just talking about discipleship. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, but it does mean that God will provide and God will protect us every step of the way. You know, a couple of months ago, my wife and I celebrated our wedding anniversary. And it reminded me of one of the first kind of big dates that we had. A friend of mine was getting married and I was in the wedding, and so invited me obviously to be there, and I invited Christy to come as my date, and so we had to go to the rehearsal dinner. And that was problematic. One, because I have so many allergies to food, but I'm also really kind of picky. And so when the food came out, there were green beans. I'm not a fan of green beans. I'm so sorry, Mom, if you're watching, not a fan of green beans. But I had a choice to make. I could shun the green beans as I have tried to do my entire life, or I could eat the green beans. If I shun them, maybe I don't look so good in the eyes of this girl who I'm falling in love with, but if I do eat them, I don't like it, but I may look good in her eyes. I'll let you guess which one I did. Of course I ate the green beans. I was trying to impress Christy. Clearly it worked because we're now married. But I had to look at the bigger picture. Could I stomach, literally, food I didn't like because I wanted to impress this girl? And see, part of discipleship is saying, I see the big picture. So when Jesus says, eat what is put before you, it's focused on the big picture. You may not like the food they offer. You may not like a little thing. Be a big picture thinker when it comes to discipleship. See, understand that food was something that divided people in this time, because this food meant this and rejecting a food meant that. Jesus was saying is, don't let the little things get in the way of the big thing, which is discipling other people. See, discipleship, as much as we don't want to hear this, it's not about our convenience. It's not about our comfort. It's about somebody else knowing the love and forgiveness and redemption that only Jesus offers. And we get to be the heralds of that good news. What great news to be able to bring to people. But we've got to live on mission. Christ was always living on mission, and he has invited you and I to live on mission with him. His mission is really our mission too. It's seeing people become disciples, whether it was the 12 or the 72 or you and I. So we have two roles, two simple roles that I'd encourage you to write this down. Here is our role as disciple makers. Number one, go out into the harvest. Be a laborer, not a loafer. Get into the game. Go into the harvest. Number two, pray that God would send more workers into that harvest. There's lots of work to be done. So many people need to know the love and forgiveness of Jesus. And we have to do both. See, we can't just say, I'm going to serve and do nice things for people. At some point, we have to share with them why we're serving them. It's because of the love of Jesus. See, the kingdom of God, it's not earthly. It's not political. It's not denominational. It's not military. Do you know what the kingdom of God is in a really simplistic way? It's the reign of God in our hearts. It's God reigning as ruler and king of our hearts. And that kingdom of God, if you've got that, you know that joy, and that's a joy that we want to share. And when we see people, and in scripture, when people were healed, that's not the kingdom of God. See, that's just a foretaste of what's coming in the kingdom of God. That is the joy of knowing Jesus. I think something that's important that we never forget, that when we go into the harvest field, I want you to remember these things. And again, I'd encourage you to write these down. Number one, you're going in God's strength. It's not your own strength. God will give you the strength to go into the harvest field. Number two, You're going with God's message. The people aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting God, but you're going with the greatest, most joyful, most hopeful message the world has ever known. Number three, you're covered in prayer. This church is praying for you. Other churches are praying for you. So many people are praying as we go into that harvest field. Number four, you know that God will provide. God will provide when we go out into the harvest. Number five, you are fulfilling God's kingdom plan for your life and somebody else's. If you are saved, if you know the love of Jesus, it's because somebody modeled that, somebody pointed you to the love of Jesus. Somebody played a role in your life. God has a kingdom plan. He's got you on mission. Fulfill the mission that God has for you. It's a simplistic mission as it was for the 72. Heal, preach the gospel. And we're called to go and we're called to preach and share the love of Jesus with people. You know, one of the other things I had to do as a paper boy was I had to go collect. And that meant I had to go door to door to every house that I delivered a paper. And I had to knock on the door and say, okay, I need you to pay me for the month so that I can then pay the newspaper. And most everybody paid and it wasn't a problem. But once in a while, there were people who said, I'm not paying you. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. Well, if they didn't pay, they didn't get the paper. Thereby, they didn't get all of the news. And they miss out on that big sale at JCPenney's. The point here is this. There's going to be a collection day for all of us. And God will come knocking on our door. The good news is we don't have to pay a price if we've accepted the price that Jesus paid on the cross. If we are a disciple of Christ, we can say Jesus has paid the price. Can I tell you my favorite time to collect during the year? Christmas. Ooh, I got cookies and I got pies and I got money and it was awesome to be a young person and to have all of that. And I can't even begin to think what I'm going to receive one day when the Lord calls me home. And when the Lord calls you home, it will be joy because we'll have the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Friends, if you make disciples, if you live on mission, not only will you grow closer to God, but you will live out your faith in a kingdom-changing way. I want to give you three things to think about here as we kind of come to the end of our summer essential series, ways that you can grow closer to God and live out your faith. Number one, are you going into the harvest field? Come on, let's go. If you need somebody to go with you, I'll go. We've got people here ready to go to the harvest field. Number two, do you have and share that peace of Christ? If you've got the peace of Christ, share that with people. It'll change them. And number three, are you living on mission? Are you living on mission at the grocery store? Are you living on mission in your own home? Are you living on mission at work and at school? Live on mission. God has got great plans for you, friends. We're so glad that you're able to watch with us today. If you want more information about how you can get plugged in, how you can get encouraged, go to 3timbers.org. We've got all kinds of information there, from youth ministry to adult ministry to how you can give. We're so excited. We hope that if you're in Bennington, join us. Stop by the Stumble Inn Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for worship. Or you know what? Come by the ministry center and you can experience God's faithfulness. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope there's joy in your house as we sang about. And I hope there's joy in your heart. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.